Our gospel reading today comes from John 14, verses 1 through 14. This will be read from the New International Version. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you so long a time, anyone who has seen me has seen my Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father, living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. The word of God for the people of God. Sorry. Is that better? That's okay? Okay. Please pray with me. Eternal God, in the reading of Scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be realized. I pray, Lord, that in bringing forth this message this morning, that it is a realization of your words and purpose, that it brings to life the call you hold for each of us to better serve one another in order to better serve you. Amen. In our readings today, we hear the story of Thomas. He is often called Doubting Thomas because of his need to see the wounds of crucifixion for himself in order to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Rather than believe the word and testimony of his brother disciples, Thomas denies the truth, needing the proof of a physical Christ before him. Why wouldn't Thomas believe his brothers? He walked with them, personally witnessed the miracles that Jesus performs. He witnesses everything the other disciples have. Yet he needs the proof. Has Thomas lost his faith? Has it shifted? Has he begun to deny? No. He's human, and he feels left out. In John 20, verses 19 through 23, Jesus appears to the disciples. He blesses them with the Holy Spirit and charges them with their task. To spread the word of the Messiah and the good news of Jesus' resurrection, to make disciples of God through Christ Jesus. Each of the disciples sees Jesus in the flesh, receives a personal blessing of the Holy Spirit, save Thomas. He was the only one who wasn't there. Thomas, intentionally, was not included. Jesus waits to appear to Thomas, knowing full well what Thomas needs in order to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the time the other disciples received their blessing and charge, Thomas was not yet ready to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one who comes to Thomas. Jesus is the one who comes to Thomas after his doubt is voiced. Jesus does what he has always done. He goes to the aid of someone who needs him, who has gone as far as he can go on his own. Jesus takes that person's hand and guides them the rest of the way. For Thomas, that was touching the wounds of his Savior. Let's look at this for a minute. Jesus says, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." While this is often read as a reproach, Jesus isn't withholding a blessing from Thomas. Rather, he's explaining how much greater the blessing will be, is, for those who do believe without the need of seeing. Thomas had a great opportunity to be blessed in the belief of the resurrection without needing to see Jesus. All of the other disciples had seen Jesus, but Jesus had chosen Thomas to receive a very special blessing, a greater blessing, believing without seeing. Thomas missed that opportunity, and it was because of his humanity. That humanity was a longing for the same communal experience that the other disciples had, that Mary had had when Jesus first appeared before. Thomas was distracted from his belief in the truth because he wanted what others had received. In truth, because of this distraction and his doubt, Thomas does, in fact, receive that intimate personal experience with Jesus. Jesus comes not just for the belief of the group, but for the belief of the one. In this case, that one was Thomas. But why did Jesus appear to his disciples at a moment when not all of them were present? Why go this extra step for Thomas? If Jesus had included Thomas, Thomas would never have doubted the word of the other disciples. Some would say that Jesus appears to Thomas, or without Thomas, because he already knows Thomas's heart and that he doubts. Others may say that Thomas needed to doubt in order to find his own way to his own personal experience with Jesus. So, why must Thomas doubt? What purpose does his doubt serve in making disciples for Jesus? Jesus knew that there would be people who do not believe. Jesus said in Matthew 10:14, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." He knew there would be people who would be downright refusing to listen or to believe. He knew there would be doubters. He knew that there would be people who needed a little something more in order to believe. He also knew he had such a person amongst his disciples. Jesus gave Thomas what he needed to embrace the truth and to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus does all of this in the witness of the other disciples. Why? So that Thomas's revelation goes with them. And when they, the disciples, now apostles, encounter their own doubting Thomases as they minister, they will be familiar with that hesitation and will know that they need to do something more in order to help that person realize love and come to Christ. Thomas is used as an example to the disciples, and he remains our example today. As the disciples of today, we must meet those who are weary in their faith, those who need more, those who have strayed, who are uncertain, who do not believe or know Christ at all. We must meet them, listen to them, and help them find their own way to Jesus. In John 14, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." As people who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we know this. We have found our way. How many do not? How many are distracted with the obligations of sports, organizations, clubs on Sundays throughout the week? How many struggle each and every day and feel that they have no one to turn to? How many of them want so desperately to believe, but for one reason or another, they can't find it in themselves to trust, to take that extra small step? How many of these people are alone and are yearning for something, though they not know what it is? How many feel like that something is missing? How many of these people don't know the love and salvation of Jesus is what they are truly yearning for? In John 14, Jesus also says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Some of you may not know, I was raised in this church. I was baptized here. I was confirmed here. This was for a very long time my home church, and there's still a large part of me that loves Wesley. I look around this beautiful church this morning and I see you, disciples of Christ Jesus, children of God. I also see many seats that are empty, as it is in my church. I remember this church as a child. I remember the pews packed with families every Sunday. I remember people needing to sit in the back during Christmas Eve service. But what's happened? Why are our churches so empty? I would love to think it's because those who are not here are out in our community serving, testifying, showing people the way to Jesus. But that's not our reality. As Jesus foretold, there is now a time when the world does not see him. Our world today is very distracted. As I consider the church and the 4,000 plus people in this community who are unchurched, I cannot help but think of a quote by the renowned author, Ray Bradbury. Bradbury states, "You don't have to burn books to destroy a culture. Just get the people to stop reading them." The more I worked with the scriptures for today, the more heavily the reality of that statement weighed on me. I saw the truth and reality of the value of education and reading in Bradbury's words. But there was more. I see the reality of evil in these words, the evils of distraction and doubt. Bradbury focuses on the distraction from reading, from thought, from creativity and expression, all things that create and sustain a culture. If we no longer read, we no longer pay attention to the books and the ideas they hold. The books then have no power or influence. We don't need to burn them to destroy them. We need only to be distracted enough to ignore them. Satan is doing the exact same thing. He's feeding into the importance of menial things in our daily lives, filling our lives with white noise to distract us and keep us busy so that we further distance ourselves from God, not just on Sundays, but every day. Satan does not need to destroy our churches with flames or hatred. He only needs to distract us, to keep us busy enough that we need a break, that we forgot it was Sunday, that we don't pray when we are struggling or hurting. With enough distraction, we begin to doubt. Doubt is the natural offspring of distraction and absence. We doubt ourselves, our abilities, our thoughts and feelings. We are human, and doubt is a very real part of our everyday. I can remember when my wife and I stepped away from church for a time. We were newly married and had started a family. We became so overrun with the needs of our newborn, our house, and careers that Sunday was the only day we could rest. It was also our errand day, and we wanted to sleep in so that we could rest and recover from the hectic week. When I was asked by my friends and fellow church members why we had stopped going, I didn't have an answer. I didn't know why. I only had excuses. We're just so tired with the baby. It's our only day to run errands. It's the only day we can sleep in and catch up on rest. It's our one day to be together. These are excuses, and they were nothing more than distractions. They weren't reasons. The reasons were all the same. I was distracted. Church and God at that point in my life wasn't the most important thing. Distractions happen every day. They won't go away. What we need is the ability to see them for what they are and deal with them. If we cannot deal with them, we have help in the One. He will help us overcome them, just as He helped Thomas. If we are distracted from our books and beliefs, we stop using them, having a purpose for them, they die. Their purposes die. That's what Satan wants with us in our relationship with God. He wants us to be distracted by other things long enough to create an absence in our hearts. From the absence and distraction, he will breed doubt. But there is hope. There's hope in each of us as children of God, for Jesus says that the Father lives in him and he lives in us. There is hope, a spark. We either tend to it and set it ablaze, or we let it die out. For the unchurched and the unknown, that spark may not have been realized yet. It is up to us as children of God, as the new disciples of Christ, to help the unknown, to help the unchurched fan that spark into a flame. It is our charge, our duty, to reach out to those who don't know him, to those unchurched, so that they will become disciples in his name. We will reach out to the unchurched and the unknown. We will love them, just as Jesus loves us. Through our actions and our love, they will find Jesus again. They will find the home that they long for amongst us. They will feel the warmth of his love. They will feel the security of his embrace. They will know the certainty of his promise. We will help them as Jesus helped Thomas. Thomas believed, as I am sure many of the unchurched have believed, still may believe. But remember, even Thomas, a disciple of Christ, needed help. He needed something more to verify what he was told, to help make it real. He didn't readily accept it because of who told him. He believed it in the end because he was given what he needed in order to realize and declare Jesus as his Lord, his God. Jesus and God as one. O Lord, my God and Savior. Thomas believed because he was given what he needed. Rather than investing so much time and attention in our distractions of phones, clubs, sports, and menial obligations, let's invest in one another. Jesus said, "Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live." There is hope in us. We see Christ, and we can show others the way to him. Thomas was looking for a personal experience of the resurrected Christ. The Thomases and the unchurched of today are looking for that same experience. We will obey the commands of our Father. We will help our Thomases make their own proclamations and experience Jesus on a personal level. We will meet them where they are. We will usher them toward the light of Christ. We will use our gifts to guide these men, women, children, to discover the resurrection and a love for Christ. We will offer them the experience of resurrection faith so that when they go no further on their own, they may encounter Jesus in a life-changing way. Let us bring them to Christ so that they will do the same for others. We will obey the commands of our Father. We will be the fishers of men. We will make more disciples, and together we will end the incredulity of man. Amen.